Agreed, Ganymede. The Duke wriggled away from the distraction. Acceptable? Shall I do the inviting as usual? The anonymous pursed his lips. I don't want to reveal myself until we are sure of Perry, but I'm willing to attend by speaker. Caesar frowned. Jehovah, what is your impression of Casimir Perry? Should we invite them to join us? Jehovah awoke again from his inner solitude. Perry fights for power more fiercely than most fight for their lives. You invited danger by leaving the man outside this long. Now the frown spread to Kosala. Have you gotten to know Perry during your work at the Senate, Jed? Barely, Aunt Kosala. This man performs in public always. Here I should hope to see him without his intention mask. Mason breathed deeply as all digested the words. Then we're agreed. How soon can we do this? Madame shrugged, the tightness of her breath-strained bodice commanding the attention of both her gentlemen. I'll need a day or two to make arrangements, but since you are all agreed on it, my friends, I shall act as fast as possible. His Majesty nodded. Thank you, Madame. I am sincerely grateful. The Anonymous was last to nod consent. Be careful not to reveal me to Perry before we're ready, Jehovah. Do you understand? Perry doesn't know. His nervousness may seem excessive, but the Anonymous has been burned by Jehovah's acumen before. How else do you imagine Madame added this most elusive prince to her collection? It was before I joined the house, but I have heard the story. The Anonymous frequented middle level in his everyday persona, socializing in tea rooms and wooing Madame's ladies, when one day the young master, only 6 years old, addressed him across a card table. I disagree with such and such you wrote in the paper, Monsieur l'Anonyme. The startled guest tried in haste to contradict the boy. That wasn't me. But children and sages both grow more stubborn when they know they're right. Jehovah presented proof after proof, and a century and a half of perfect secrecy was no match for him. Madame silenced the lesser card players with bribes, but Caesar, Ando, and Ganymede, who frequent the middle level too, for variety's sake, saw at once the value of being able to negotiate in person with the seventh power. Thus was born the guise of de Guise. Madame was overjoyed. She had expected to have to work much longer to capture her Anonymous. Excellent. We have a solution, Madame proclaimed. Now I'm sure you all have 1,000 things to be getting on with, unless there are other concerns. Only Felix took the invitation. One last thing, since we've strayed rather far from my original topic. I want to make sure, Director and Princesse, that we're parting on good terms. Whatever my opinion of those things you have adopted, my affection for the pair of you is unchanged. Ando could not smile here. But what are wives for, if not to be forgiving when husbands cannot? Of course, Felix, of course. We could never be angry with you. That said, her husband added, I do not intend to block my bar kids from careers in high office just because of your opinion, Felix. I know what they are doing. It is no harm to you. If their presence inside one office or another, he nodded to Kosala and the Anonymous, gives me some small insight into your hives, it is far less than you yourselves already willingly extend. If nothing else, I hope that, as the children mature, they can become liaisons between us and help advise me about your own hives' interests. Briar Kosala smiled her approval. That makes sense. Faust did not. Will you at least get them to stop applying to my institute? I don't know how many times I can restrain myself from shouting set set in public. A pause for thought. Yes, Felix. I shall inform June that they are unwelcome at Brill's Institute. Oh, they're welcome enough as a test subject. Felix rubbed his hands. For progress and humanity and all that. A grim frown. I will think about it. Good, Madame proclaimed. We are all friends again. And now, a kiss on the cheek for Mason. I shall contact you all. A kiss on the cheek for Spain. When I have made arrangements with the outsider. Meanwhile, dear friends, please, for your own health, do take some minutes to enjoy yourselves. Joy followed. The Anonymous attacked laughing Briar's bodice, which their earlier haste had left intact. It was Spain's turn with Madame, and his shy majesty prefers a private room, so they departed, while Mason stretched back to watch modest Danae help her brother get into position for her husband's sport. Faust, meanwhile, invited Jehovah to join him at the crack of the window curtains, the Brillist itching to take notes on his observations of the lives below. Jehovah, Aristotle still in hand, complied. I knew my office and offered Caesar wine. His glance at me seemed tired, though it may just have been the richness of the room. He did not have the stomach to use Latin, not today, not with someone with so little right to it as I have. I hear you were almost killed in the street today, Mycroft. Yes, Caesar. The Utopians saved me. You were seen in uniform. Word is already spreading. This may end your days walking the streets. I swallowed down my sob. I know, Caesar. The attackers were friends of Apollo's. 13 years they'd been planning how to get at you. I'll see to it they're acquitted. Thank you, Caesar. You've been making mistakes lately, Mycroft. You're worried about something. Is it this 710 list? No, it... May I ask a question, Caesar? I had not intended to whisper, but his face often drives the voicing from my words. What? If you had something, something so wonderful that it seemed that it might, that, given the chance, it would make a better world for everyone, forever, so much better, but first there was a danger, a terrible, terrible danger that it could rip everything we have apart. Would you destroy that better world to save this one? The wine fell as both Mason's hands, black-sleeved and gray, seized me by the rough weave of my habit and hurled me to the floor. Get out of my sight. What? Caesar, I never speak Apollo's words again. Get out! Chapter the 31st. Dominant Predator. Mycroft! Hear now Bridger's sobbing scream rise through the dawn-streaked flower trench. Where are you, Mycroft? Mycroft! He had been reduced to old clothes, a green striped wrap, which was almost more holes than fabric, and socks, no shoes, their threadbare toes ripping open as grass and rough dirt scraped his rushing feet. I freely confess, reader, that this chapter is half imagination, for I was still a prisoner at Madame's. Bridger! Slow down there, kiddo, what's wrong? It was a stranger's voice, and the boy turned, brandishing a plastic ray gun. Keep away! Whoa! The stranger put his hands up as he stepped from the cover of the trash mine, chuckling, perhaps, at Boo, who bristled at Bridger's side, his sweet, blue face not designed to bear teeth. Mycroft sent me. Do you know where Mycroft is? The boy half-shrieked. No, I'm looking for them, too. But their tracker's been off all day. Turn around. Put your hands up on the wall.
Bridger braced the toy weapon well in both hands. Do you think the Major would not have taught him that?
If I turn around, you won't be able to see me.
It was the truth, for a utopian coat enveloped the stranger in invisibility. Overlong sleeves swallowed his fingers, a hood his hair, so only his face and hints of legs and torso showed through the coat's open front, a sliver of a person, like an otherworldly voyager halfway out of the rift. The boy cocked his head.
Are you dressed as Apollo Mojave?
The smiling stranger pushed the visor up away from his eyes and onto his gold blonde wig.
Yes, I am. Mycroft showed you pictures of Apollo, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. A fanged smile.
I'm a ghost, you see. It's easiest if I look like someone it's not surprising to see a ghost of.
The stranger's eyes measured the boy's limbs, how long his stride, how fast one would have to sprint to catch him. Even a common house cat toying with a mouse calculates how far it can let its plaything limp and still keep escape impossible.
Who are you? Bridger asked.
I'm Mycroft's oldest and most trusted friend.
The stranger slid down into a crouch, offering his hand for Boo to sniff.
Mycroft asked me to take care of you if things got bad.
What's your name?
Saladin offered as kind a smile as his snake-smooth face can muster.
Only Mycroft gets to know my name. And you can't tell anybody about me, okay, Bridger? I'm a secret.
He held a finger to his lips.
Just like you.
The tension in Bridger's stance began to ease as he saw Boo wag, seduced by my scent on Saladin.
How come you don't have any eyebrows? He asked.
Saladin laughed.
When I was a kid, I was in a terrible accident and all my skin burned off. See? No hair either.
He lifted the corner of his wig above the temple.
That must have hurt.
Yes. Yes, it did. But Mycroft grew me new skin in the meat maker and patched me up with that. I think they did a good job.
He traced the back of one hand with the other's fingers, following a seam between two patches, now only detectable to we who know that body perfectly.
Was that the same accident that hurt Mycroft?
Yep. Almost killed us both.
Well, officially it did kill me.
Though he still played with the dog, Saladin's eyes were ranging the trench, the light and shadow, the texture of the walls, where best to climb, to hide, to trap.
How do I know he did this, reader?
My Saladin always surveys his surrounding thus, as wild dogs do, and soldiers learn again to do when civilization's rose-tinted daydream breaks.
Bridger frowned. Couldn't you get new eyebrows and hair if you want? Doctors can do that.
I could. But hair has DNA in it that the police can find. I'd rather opt out.
Yeah, hair's hard.
The child's voice was soft after tears.
Mycroft makes me use special clumpy shampoo that's supposed to make my hair not shed except when I comb it.
And special soap that makes loose skin flakes dissolve, right? I use it too. Smells terrible, doesn't it?
As wild a thing as Saladin has never learned to make his chuckle friendly.
But look, I can have eyebrows if I want. See?
He lowered the visor back over his eyes, and the projection filled in brows and lashes faithfully. Not his face. A different face. The cheekbones higher, skin a northern European pale, the eyes like sky. He lifted it and lowered it again.
See? Eyebrows? No eyebrows. Eyebrows? No eyebrows.
The game failed to coax a smile from the boy.
What happened, Bridger?
Saladin asked.
Why were you running just now?
A fast sob made the ray gun fall slack at last.